Humanitarian agencies are not paying enough attention to the aid needs of older people and young children when responding to emergencies. This is what emerged from a report released by aid agency HelpAge International and endorsed by Save the Children. Humanitarian Policy Manager at HelpAge, Marcus Skinner, told us older people and children under five are two of the most vulnerable groups within populations affected by emergencies, but the number of projects targeted at them is very low.
The findings were surprising to us, as to any of the readers. I think what the report really shows is a growing evidence of the marginalization of specifically of older people from humanitarian response. And this is the third in a series of reports that looks at humanitarian financing as a way of illustrating that. So by analyzing the number of projects and the number of funded projects which mention or address the needs of older people. And so we can see from the findings that in 2012, only 60 projects of a 2,800 approximately that we analysed even mention or address the needs of older people, and less than half of these were funded. So there's a massive gap in relation to one of the most vulnerable groups in the population in an emergency. But potentially what was surprising and most surprising for us was the findings related to children under five, because there's an assumption, I think, in the humanitarian system and from funders of emergency, whether that be the public or in donors, that the needs of children are pretty well addressed by the humanitarian system. But in fact, we see a similar, I mean, slightly improved figures, but a similar issue for children under five, with just 3.9% of projects addressing their needs or mentioning their needs, and only 2.3% of those funded. So the question for us, and the question that this report really raises for humanitarians, is what does this tell us about the system that we all work in and the assumptions we make about the degree to which we are or are not meeting the needs of the most vulnerable? And I think what this report highlights is that there's a system that really struggles to address the specific needs of population groups. There's an assumption that assistance reaches all those who are vulnerable. But if you look at this report, two of the most vulnerable groups, children under five and older people, and the previous report published by HelpAge in partnership with Handicap International, in which we looked at older people and people with disability, we can see that all those three groups failed to be recognised on a systematic basis, despite what we do know about their vulnerability in crises.
You point out something very simple, which is, for example, humanitarian services need to modify their programs even by introducing separate queues for distribution of aid.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of the adaptations to programming, if we talk about sort of adapted and accessible services specifically for older people in this case, some of the adaptations are very simple. As you mentioned, the different queues for vulnerable groups, whether that's older people or people with disability. But time and time again, in crisis after crisis, our current response in the Syria refugee crisis in Jordan and Lebanon, for example, illustrates clearly that these lessons aren't being learnt by humanitarian partners, and that food distributions are basically a first-come, first-served basis, whereby the strongest and, you know, the most able to push to the front of the queue receive assistance, or that the assistance packages aren't adapted for people with disability or older people, for example, who might not be able to carry a 20-kilo bag of rice or a heavy jerry can full of water. And so, yeah, there are some very simple adaptations that can be made. Then there are some sort of slightly more technical areas, specifically related to older people's health or older people's nutrition, in which the skills and expertise are potentially lacking to a degree in the humanitarian system. But even still, a lot of the experience and evidence is there, and we just need to ensure that that's fed back into the system to ensure these sort of modifications and adaptations to programs are made.
Now, in the second part of the report, you do highlight some specific areas, and you speak of the East Africa food crisis, with in particular Somalia, which you say stands out with 22 project proposals submitted. What can you tell me about specific areas of humanitarian aid?
Yeah, I think the East Africa food crisis example that we highlight is an interesting one. I mean, the first thing to point out is the number of projects are still very low. I mean, 22 projects is hardly anything in the size of the response. However, what's interesting about those projects when you analyze them further is the degree to which that older people were given a voice within the assessment process. So a large number of projects, or 34 projects specifically, talk about engaging older people in a consultation process. And by giving older people or other groups in need of assistance a voice in those consultation and assessment processes, you're much more likely to end up with a picture of the needs on the ground, which more accurately reflect the different vulnerabilities of different groups or the variant needs of different groups. If you imagine if any of us were asked about our needs in a crisis, it's quite likely that we'd talk about our own needs and perhaps those around us, maybe our children or our wives or husbands. But then if you don't have older people in your family or community, it's quite unlikely that you'll specifically identify those needs or someone with disability. So I think what's interesting about that case is the degree of consultation. And then the second issue about sort of addressing need at point of delivery is about skills, knowledge and capacity, really. Understanding what the specific needs of different groups are and making sure that expertise is available at the point of delivery of aid. We talked about adaptations, but it's very well that I understand the adaptations or my manager in London does. But if our field staff don't understand those adaptations, then it's very hard to ensure that the programs will be accessible to different groups. And so by providing expertise, whether that's through training, which HelpAge does, it has a training program called HOPE, which is called Helping Older People in Emergencies, which is designed to build awareness and expertise of humanitarian partners to deliver programs that are sensitive to older people's needs, or seconding experts into other agencies to build their capacity and knowledge around how to adapt and deliver programs that meet needs, and how to analyze the needs of a population so that you understand whether there are these specific needs in the population groups that you're addressing.
All this in a world where global aging is increasing. What I didn't mention was that this report was endorsed by Save the Children as well. You spoke of the particular focus on the needs of young children. How has Save the Children participated in your work?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the report was initially, the research was done by HelpAge International, and the two target groups were chosen, I have to admit, because we were expecting to find a disparity between the degree of assistance for children under five and older people. When we found, in fact, that the two groups were massively underserved by the humanitarian response across these crises in 2012, we approached Save the Children to ask if they'd be willing to endorse the study, because it highlights an issue that is pertinent to so many agencies operating in humanitarian contexts. While HelpAge is the only international agency that addresses the needs of older people specifically, the implications for child protection and child assistance agencies are enormous, and it really illustrates a sort of a common need to address and understand what the implications for age and aging are for humanitarian actors, and how you can address the different needs of different age groups, and how potentially those partners can work together given the interconnections between generations, whether that's older carers caring for children or the fact that the population obviously is aging. And as you mentioned, in light of the global demographic shift, I mean, the potential implications of the shift and the growth of the older population are enormous for humanitarian assistance. If we consider that by 2050, there'll be more people over 60 than children under 15 for the first time in history, the numbers and the caseload and the potential vulnerabilities of those older people, the majority of whom will be living in the developing world, are enormous. And as a system, as a trying to respond to those needs, we need to adapt now and understand now how we can better ensure assistance reaches those groups.
What do you hope this report, what fruits do you hope it may bear?
Well, what we hope is that it highlights, I mean, firstly, the continuing marginalisation of older people, and in this case, children under five. But really, the crux of the report is that the current focus of humanitarian operations seems to ignore the evidence of need on the ground. There's a limited connection between an assessment of the population and who makes up that population and what their needs might be. So, for example, one of the big recommendations is around the collection and use of what's called sex and age disaggregated data. So data of a population divided up by age and gender. So you know how many older people of different age groups there are, and you know how many children and adolescents. And from that, you can begin to get a better understanding of what their needs might be. So really, it's to ensure a stronger link between evidence and programming. Additionally, we hope to address this issue that we mentioned around capacities of humanitarian workers to really highlight that there is a gap, but also to really, as a bit of a call to arms, really, to recognise that the fact that older people aren't addressed in humanitarian assistance or that people with disability or children puts us as a system in breach of the principles that we're committed to and the principles of impartiality. And that if we are to be accountable to the people we claim to assist, we need to ensure that the assistance we deliver reaches those people and the most vulnerable of those people. And so by addressing these questions of aging in or age in the humanitarian system, we're really trying to push for an approach to programming that's based, it's firmly rooted in quality and quality assessment, quality analysis, and quality delivery.
Hopefully your report will be read and taken up by, obviously, the EU's Commission for Humanitarian Aid Department, but also the many aid organisations that do such good work across the globe. Do you think there's a chance of this?
We very much hope so. I think the donors specifically, you mentioned the EU and ECHO as the second largest humanitarian donor. I think the donors have a large role to play in this, and a lot of the work that ECHO is doing, trying to introduce better analysis of age and gender issues into programming as a requirement for funding, is an extremely positive step. And it ensures that the type of evidence-based assistance that I mentioned becomes a requirement. And I think other donors can learn from that. Absolutely, we also hope that the agencies that we work with on the ground see that the evidence highlights the marginalisation of older people and begin to act on that and work with us and in partnership with us to better address these issues, but also to begin to think about how they can adapt their own programmes to meet the needs of older people.